In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with resting, sleeping in the arms of Jesus, and this volume 22nd, August 9th, 1927, it was the day my mom was born on. And this is her birthday, actual birthday. It's always good to, when we read the calendar, each day as we read the calendar, we hear why this specific day is so important to Jesus. Every day he teaches us, every day he guides us, he directs us. And you can look back when you were born, if that was then or the day that you were born, and listen to what Jesus is saying on that day. You get a few glimpses of the grace and the blessing. You know, your marriage, wedding day, your ordination day, your day that you made a consecration into the religious life. Listen to what Jesus is saying on those days, and it will really help you understand why you are alive today and why God needs you to get closer and closer to him. The kingdom is coming, and he needs us to really begin to cooperate so that we begin to see things from a divine perspective, from Jesus's point of view. So on this day afterwards, Louisa says, I was feeling such profound sleepiness as to be unable even to write. Now that happens with us as well. You know, we make a promise to read every day. And some days this is what happens. We're just so tired. We're unable to read. This is something that is part of our life. The Lord is in charge of our life. This is what victim soul means. Whatever the Lord wants that day, we say fiat to. Whether, you know, we get up and we want to read and we can't. We want to study this and it's just impossible for that day. So Jesus says, this is what happens. And I thought to myself, why this sleepiness when vigil has almost always been nature in me? So here she said this. She was always been able to do this. And why now is she tired? Why now can't she write? And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me. So the first thing that Jesus always teaches us is that he is in the interior of Louisa. He's the one that's directing her. He's the one that's guiding her. He's the one that has blessed her with such abundant blessings. And unfortunately, I've heard people say, well, I'm another Louisa, and therefore I don't need to do such and such and such. And we're not Louisa. Louisa, again, the Lord chose her to be the one, the first one, the first human born of original sin to possess this gift since Adam. Now, Jesus had it because he's the Son of God. Mary had it because she's the mother of God, Theotokos. But Louisa's the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. And who is this Louisa Picaretta that God wants to begin the human race over again with all that Adam had, all that Adam possessed, image and likeness of God? And when we really begin to focus on this, none of us can even compare to being any way close to being Louisa or being like Louisa. So a lot of people say, when I become a victim soul, I have to stay in bed for the rest of my life. I won't eat, drink, or sleep just like Louisa. No, that was Louisa. Louisa went through that so that we wouldn't have to. What we are called to do is to, when we give our fiat, to say to Jesus in every situation, let it be done as you wish, as you have planned, And that surrender, that docility, that submission is extremely necessary to enter into this gift. That's the life of Luisa. It's always fiat. So here her beloved Jesus moves in her interior and says, "My daughter, just as a doctor makes the poor patient who has to undergo surgery fall asleep, okay, with anesthesia, and so it, not to let him feel all the harshness of the pain, the cuts that he has to make on the poor infirm one, in the same way." So Jesus is saying he's healing Luisa, he's healing us. And this narcotic, if you want to say, that he gives us to make us pass out so that we don't feel the surgery is necessary, Jesus says. So he says this, "I, the celestial doctor, who love you so much in order to not let you feel the continuous press of my privations, its repeated blows, the harshness of its painful cuts, makes you fall asleep." So again, when we become victim souls, it's we've surrendered to God. Lord, like for example, today, "Let it be as you wish, Lord. Whatever you want, I want. Not my will, but your will be done." This surrender, this docility is necessary. For example, you might have an important thing to do today, you know, whether, you know, whatever it might be. And Jesus says, I want you to do this today. Like the same thing for prayer. When you're, I know some people say, "I haven't got the time to do all the prayers." Well, Jesus says, find something that he is asking you to do and do it, and do it well, whether it's to sleep, whether it's to read, it's to study, to put this into practice. But we surrender to the Lord. We're always surrendering to the Lord. So, for example, you want to pray and there's distractions, things outside the chapel, if you want to say, that are making noise and causing, you know, disturbance. Jesus is saying to us at that point, he's saying very clearly, I want you to begin to listen to what I am asking for you to do. So whether you're focused on, you know, reading a special passage for today, like a novena or whatever, and the Lord says, no, I want you to let me lead you, guide you, direct you to the prayer that I want you to pray today. We have our prayers. The saints say, these are our prayers. We got to pray them. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to teach you the way I prayed, the way my mother prayed. This is what they taught Luisa. And so our job is to not get worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, and not falling into sin, but to saying to the Lord, okay, you're in charge. I'd like to see what you want me to do today. I have this plan, but you seem to be stopping it at this point. So Lord, let it be done as you say, let it be done as you wish. So here's what's happening here. I, the celestial doctor, who loves you so much, in order to not let you feel the continuous press of my privation, its repeated blows, the harshness of the painful cuts, makes you fall asleep. So that in breaking your martyrdom, sleep may give you a little bit of respite from a pain so intense. Now, we're all suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are going through that. This is life. This is our cross. This is what God has planned for us, that we can have pity on him. He is the one who suffered. Our Lady is the one who suffered, the new Adam and the new Eve. And when we have a pain, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, Jesus is saying, he's saying this to us, would you take my place for a moment just to ease my pain? Would you be willing to do that? And our love for Jesus should be, yes, Lord, whatever you ask is what I want. What you are leading me, guiding me, directing me to do, I want to do this. That's the divine will. It's how do you know you're living in the divine will? Not fully. How do you know God is leading you to this life? It's with your fiat. Jesus says your desire, you're halfway there. it's you've gone through the door. Like, for example, you want to go to a sports arena, okay? And you drive and you drive and you finally get there and you walk through the door. You're in the place where the sport's going to be held. You're just begun. You're there, but now you have to get to your seat. Now the game has to play. Now you're going to enter into this sports arena fully. That day for us in the divine world has not happened yet. That day when the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus has invited us to the kingdom. He's given us the book of heaven. He's showing us how and why this is going to happen. And so we are peaceful, joyful, and happy. Okay. We there might be some delays, but where we are going is to the wedding feast. This wedding jubilee, this God came to earth to find a bride. That's the reason he came to earth. That's why Jesus kept on saying the first miracle was at a wedding. And what does he do? He produces 150 gallons of wine. I mean, he says party, but 150 gallons? I mean, that's our God. He's so generous. He's so gratuitous. He can't stop giving. And so he's saying to us, and this is why we wear the ring. This is why we accept his proposal. We go to Louisa, who received the mystical marriage, and by being one with her, we begin to live this, not fully, because only the greatest saints in the history of the church had the mystical marriage. But Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you. I am inviting you to the wedding feast. I'm inviting you to the kingdom where God and man become one. You know, in the churches, the canopy above the altar is the wedding canopy. And when the priest says Holy Mass, it is the consummation. It's the oneness between God and man that God is bringing about. So this whole wedding feast that God is getting us ready for we are to begin to live it now. Peaceful, joyful, and happy. He has proposed to us, and we have accepted his proposal. He now says, get ready for the kingdom, the wedding feast. Get ready for this intimacy with God that's coming, this oneness with God. Again, we're using human terms to begin to understand a divine reality. It goes beyond human terms. You know, so when we go, well, you know, people get upset sometimes when they see or listen or read that Louisa kisses Jesus, and they go, oh, that bothers me. Well, it's not romantic. It's a father kissing his little daughter. It's a mother kissing her little son. It's to enter into this divine love, which is the divine will. This ocean, infinite love that God is asking us to dive into and never to leave. So here he says, breaking your martyrdom, sleep may give you a little bit of respite from a pain so intense. But while you sleep, your Jesus sustains you in his arms, like a father with his little baby. And I continue my work in your soul. So this work that God is doing in our souls is, and this is very important, it's beyond what God gave to the saints. Okay, what God is doing now, he saved the best for last. So what the saints have taught us is how to do the will of God. What Jesus is teaching Louisa, teaching us through Louisa, is how to live in the will of God. Okay, so like he says, you might have this idea of, oh, I have to do this, you know, and God interrupts that idea. Why? He has more to give you. A lot of people, when they get into the divine will, when they first get into the divine will, they hear Jesus say to Louisa often, he says, give up the holy things, the saintly things, the good things. And they go, I'm not going to give up the holy things. I'm not going to give up the saintly things. I'm not going to do this. That's the immediate reaction of most people who, when they read Louisa. And Jesus says, basically, the reason I want you to do this is I have more to give you. It's a divine enter, to enter into a divine life with Jesus. And it takes sometimes a lot of time, or a period of time, for people to begin to understand that what the priest says at Holy Mass is what God wants for us now. When he puts the drop of water into the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Okay, what does that mean? It goes back to the marriage. It's to enter into this union with God, this intimacy with God that Adam had before the fall. Adam walked with talked with God in the cool of the evening. His communion with God was perennial. Our communion with God right now, because of the Holy Eucharist, because of the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, our communion with God right now is for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And then that mystical oneness with God is gone. So what the Lord is saying is, I'm preparing my church for this perennial communion that Adam had in the beginning, where he walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's what's happening as we read. As we read, we walk and talk with God in a way that if the saints were alive today, they'd be envious of us, if they could be envious. It's to enter into this intimacy with our God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King. This oneness with God. See, when God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And that's the reason today they want to try to change our DNA. Why? The DNA that Adam had was in God's image and likeness. And Jesus said it will happen like in the time of Noah. What happened in the time of Noah? Read Genesis 6. The sons of God had children with the daughters of Adam. And there was this interbreeding, if you want to say, this destruction of the human gene, the human DNA. Jesus came to restore humanity, to redeem humanity. If our DNA is changed, are we human? To see, it's where we are today is the greatest offense against Christ and his church is happening today. And what God is asking of us is to begin to live this abundant life, okay? And so what has he done? He's given us the way and the how it's going to happen. And Jesus tells us this when he speaks of sacred scripture. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. When we read the book of heaven, we're understanding our dogma and our doctrine even more. We're understanding the catechism even more, even though most of the time the catechism not even taught. Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you in a very simple and powerful way of to live this life, this true life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. So what Jesus and Mary have done with Louisa is they've dictated to her the how and the why this is going to happen. That's why the Book of Heaven is so amazing. Every day you enter into a deeper love for Jesus, a deeper love for Mary, a deeper love for the dogma and doctrine of our faith. Everything in sacred scripture becomes alive because Jesus is explaining to Louisa why he did certain things, 2,000 years ago. And now with the Holy Rosary, when we pray the Holy Rosary, what happens? We're entering into this abundant life of Jesus through the eyes of Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve, where our memory becomes focused on Jesus and Mary, Our human will, we say, I want to surrender it to you, Lord. So why? So that the divine will can reign in me. I want to go back to where Adam was before the fall. So Jesus is getting everything ready. He's getting everything ready. And he's asking us to listen. So he says, but while you sleep in my arms, basically, your Jesus sustains you in my arms, in his arms, and I continue my divine work in your soul. So we might have our novena that we want to pray. We might have our prayers of the saints that we want to pray. But Jesus says, I want to give you more than that. I want you to, as he says here, work in your soul, personally work in your soul to bring you to this divine masterpiece that I, God, have planned. This divine masterpiece is for God. It's what he wants to do with each and every one of us is he wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So again, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. And it's going to get tough. It's like a pregnancy. It's like a birth. It becomes the pains become more and more frequent and more intense until the birth. I mean, Jesus says that in sacred scripture. But it's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be, you know, pulling our hair out for. It's God is in charge. God loves us so much that he's saying, I have predestined you to live at this time. I predestined you to live at this time to give you direct, if you want to say, God directly working with your soul. Because it times up. Our Lady said that to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Luisa died. She said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world, but it's the end of this era. What is the end of this era? It's the end of the prince of this world being in charge. It's over. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross, he conquered. He was victorious. He put Lucifer where he belongs, not in charge of the world. And what's happened? We've come worse than, some say, worse than the time of Noah. What is happening? Jesus is saying, I have to give to everybody what they want. Look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. Jesus says to Luisa, they can't live in the divine will at this point because their human will is so strong. It's leading them, guiding them, directing them. I'm not doing that. So he says to Luisa, would you be willing to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach? Why? So that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. So that they can begin to live in the divine will. So Jesus teaches Luisa, you must become the yeast. Here's the loaf of bread. How much yeast do you need? Not much. That's us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. God says, would you be willing to live this as much as you can, this abundant life, 30, 60, or 100-fold, to live this? Why? So that the others, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners can begin to live this abundant life. That's our job. That's why he has said to us, I've given you the book of heaven so that you can learn how to live this life. And so with that fiat that God is asking of us, that yes to God, when he says, would you allow me to do this for you? We say yes. So what do we allow Jesus to do? As St. Louis de Montfort says, at the end of time, which Our Lady of Revelation has said basically where, which John Paul II said we are, that's where we are. He says, at the end of time, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's the book of heaven. Why do we want to read this? Why do we want to study this to enter into this abundant life? This is what God has planned for us. So he says, and not only this, see, God is gratuitous. Not only this, but I make you sleep because my divine justice too irritated by the offenses of creatures, may do its course in striking the creatures, and by sleeping you may not only leave it free in its course, but it be may be spared the sorrow of seeing such just blows over the ungrateful world. God has to give everybody what they want. And that's, he offers us, he's done everything. He shed every drop of blood and Calvary. He washed the world clean with his precious blood. Mary, at the foot of the cross with Jesus, her heart was split in two. Jesus is saying, I've done everything. And the world is far worse than it was at the time of Noah. Oh, ungrateful world. So Jesus says, then I have to give you what you want. What did Jesus say to Louisa? He said to Louisa, I have to release all the demons. And Louisa said, no, you don't. You're God. You don't have to do this. And Jesus said to Louisa, you don't understand. Humanity wants the release of the demons. So I have to give that to them. Now, when you look at your people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, most are very far from Christ and his church. Because that's what they want. So God has to give them what they're longing for. He had to give Lucifer hell because that's what he wanted. The bearer of light went into total darkness. When Jesus saw him fall to the earth, what does he say? Like lightning. Where did he go? The sun was too bright for him. He had to go underground. This, you have to understand what's happening. Jesus is purifying the world, purifying the church. And he's starting with underground. And why are all these volcanoes, you know, erupting? I mean, we have more volcanoes erupting than ever before. What's happening? He's purifying the world. He's purifying the church. Why? Because the wedding feast is coming. The kingdom is coming. So what does he say to us? He says, yes, it's going to get more intense. It's going to get more difficult. He says, my divine justice has to be given to the world because this is what they want. What is God's divine justice? Everybody gets what they want. That's the divine justice of God. If your life is focused on sin, if your life is focused on being opposite of Christ and his church, God has to give that to you. We don't want that. What do we want? We want the kingdom of God reigning in us on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. So what has God done? He says, I give you the book of heaven. See, the war, the battle has to happen. And what is the battle? It's between heaven and earth, heaven and hell. And the where the battleground is the souls of mankind. Who leads the battle of heaven? You know, who's the main guy? It's St. Michael. Under whom? Under Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God. This battle is begun. And Jesus is saying to us, are you ready? Are you ready to fight for what you want? What do you want? God says, I have to give it to you. This is why to become a victim soul in the divine will is so essential, is to say to God, I give up everything, everything that is human, because I want the divine. I want the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's my goal. So Jesus says, okay, prove it. Are you worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative? Are the things of the earth causing you to fear? Remember what Jesus said to St. Faustina. The final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's the final devotion. Jesus, I trust in you. You are my everything. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my God. There's nothing else I can trust. but you and you alone. God goes, good. Then he goes, prove it. That's the thing, because he'll put us in situations where, yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult, but our confidence is in him. Our trust is in him. Our hope, again, Christian hope is certitude. Our certitude is in him. Jesus says, oh, if you could see how your Jesus embraces you delicately, so as not to let you feel the touch of my embrace, how I kiss you so very softly that you, that's like a father kissing his little child who's asleep, that you may not feel the touch of my lips, and how I keep repeating so very quietly, my poor daughter, my poor daughter. What a harm martyrdom you are in. See, it's this hard martyrdom that God is asking us to go through is to let him, the Lord God Almighty, lead, guide, and direct us. And a lot of us have our own plans. Like Louisa, she says, I want to write, but I'm so tired. We have to surrender to God. God, what do you want? You know, if say your plan is to go to Holy Mass and something blocks your way, and you could get upset, but you could say, okay, Lord, you're allowing this to happen. I trust you. And then you could say, I want to make a spiritual communion right now. I can't make it to Holy Mass, but I'll make a spiritual communion. And a spiritual communion can be every hour on the hour. And Jesus said to St. Gertrude, he showed two ciboriums, a silver ciborium and a gold ciborium. And he says to her, both ciboriums filled with hosts, he's basically, are important to me. One is a spiritual communion. One is a real communion, a physical communion. Both are important to me, Jesus says. Do we believe that? If we believe that, then we trust in him. We believe in him. We hope in him. We have confidence in him and what he has said. But more now than before, Jesus is saying to Louisa, this is what he said about the Eucharist. He said, she said to Jesus, she says, pretty soon you're going to say to me that the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. And Jesus says, yes, it is. And like I mentioned this before, when I read that to Cardinal Burke, he goes, what? And I said, well, this is for you. He goes, give me that. You know, if he was, if this is what he hears, something's wrong. But what does Jesus say? And then as he read it, he understood. Jesus said that the physical communion, the real communion that you receive at Holy Eucharist, it is with you for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. And then that oneness, that you being united with Christ, with his body, blood, soul, and divinity, as the host dissolves, that real presence of Christ is gone. He says to Louisa, there will be a time when you won't be able to go to Holy Mass. And she lamented. She says, oh, what am I going to do? You know, Holy Eucharist was so important to her that Pope Leo XIII gave her permission to have Mass celebrated in her room. So Pope St. Pius X gave her permission to have Holy Mass celebrated in her room. And Jesus says, Louisa, what's more important, to receive me for a 15 minutes in a mystical way, or to receive me one with Louisa in a divine manner? Okay, what is the divine manner? It's the perennial communion with God that Adam had before the fall. So things won't go the way we have planned, but we have to constantly surrender to the way Jesus has planned. Okay, Lord, you're the Lord, you're my God, you're my Savior, you're my King. I've got this thing in mind. You've got something else in mind. Let it be done as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. When we do this, we are peaceful, joyful, and happy. There's no lamenting. There's no lamenting. The last 9 years of her, Eloisa's life, you know, when she was condemned, you know, she stayed in a room without the Holy Mass. The last 9 years of her life. I remember when I went to that room, and it's not owned by the association. This might be something that would be good. But here's the room where she died. And they said, this is where her bed was. And there's a guy smoking a cigarette, watching TV, right where her bed was. I said, this place where Luisa died, went going to heaven right from here, is sacred. It's a holy place. Even where she was born in the penthouse, maybe two stone throws away from there. On the penthouse, and see the poor who had no homes, those that had homes would let them build a shack on top of the house. That was the penthouse where they could live. The family could live for free. Well, they would help clean the house. They would help, you know, but they would have a place to stay. That's so where Luis was born, the church doesn't own. Where Luisa died, the church doesn't own. Where she's buried, the church owns. She's now at the front of the church, next to the high altar. Little by little, everything's falling into place. Little by little, you know, the sanctuary where she lived at St. Anthony's Orphanage down the street. The sanctuary was her room, and now where her headboard was is the tabernacle. So when you go to the chapel at St. Anthony's Orphanage in Corrado, Italy, this is where she stayed for those 10 years, the last 10 years of writing, where the most powerful words came out to her about, it was like a summary of what God has planned for all of mankind, what was written in that room, where now it's the sanctuary. I can't wait to see what's going to happen with a room where she died and the place where she was born, the beginning and the end, if you want to say. I can't wait to see what the church is going to do, because once they understand who Luisa is, these places are going to be sacred. Who is this Luisa Picaretta that God has said, I'm bringing you back to where Adam was before the fall? This is not being good and holy and saintly, it's sharing in divinity. This is what God has planned. And we are right at the beginning of this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. I mean, when we think, yesterday was Pentecost, or 2 days ago was Pentecost. We celebrated the first fruits, the asparagus, the strawberries, the rhubarb. What God wants us to get ready for is the final harvest. That's why Our Lady said, time has now come to an end. It's the end of this time of harvest. Now is the time to collect everything. That's where we are. So if our goal is with the things of the earth, we miss out. God says, if that's what you want, you're going to go the way of the world. He says, you have to begin to live this life of heaven. You have to begin to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. You have to begin to live this life of the mystical, not only the mystical marriage, but the wedding celebration, the jubilee of marriage, if you want to say. That's what God is getting us ready for. So he says, what a hard martyrdom you are in, so that the sound of my voice may not wake you up, and how without clamor the voices and motions I continue, listen to this, the work of the kingdom of my divine fiat in your soul. God is doing this. And all we're saying to God is, let it be done as you wish. That's all we're saying to God. I continue the work of the kingdom of my divine fiat in your soul. Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. He's now bringing it to life. After 2,000 years, when he said the kingdom of God is within you. Now he's bringing it to life because of what he has done with Louisa. And he's saying to us, would you like to participate in this kingdom of my divine fiat? Are you willing to say fiat to this? Are you willing to say yes? And when we say yes, Lord, he goes, okay, now you got to prove it. It's not just words. Prove it by being peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations, no matter what, no matter what. So he says this. You would not say anymore. See, he says, I continue the work of the kingdom by divine faith in your soul. You would not say anymore that I no longer love you as before. See, Jesus has predestined us to live at this time to give us what Adam lost. What is that? It's more now. It's the true life of the new Adam and the true life of the new Eve, Jesus and Mary. That's what God is giving to us. And he's offering this to us. So he says the divine will is more than the Eucharist, because how can God be greater than God? It can't. But the Eucharist is 15 minutes until the host is dissolved. The divine will is a perennial communion with God that never ends. And we can begin to live that now if we wish, by trusting in him, by believing in him, by hoping in him, confidence in him and him alone in all situations. And so God's going to test us. What about this situation? What about that situation? What about this? And if our trust is in him, we say, Jesus, I trust in you. I have confidence in you. You no longer, CCC says here, you would not say anymore that I no longer love you as before. On the contrary, and this is where we are, you would say to me, to your Lord, to your master, to your king, to your God, oh, how so very much does Jesus love me. If you have the book of heaven, how much God loves you. And I mentioned this the other day. The rounds that I love are the rounds of Easter, Pentecost. They're great. They're magnificent. I mean, I love all the rounds. But in the tradition, Pentecost goes to the Feast of Christ the King in October. And you can read every single day until October, until the fall, this abundant life that's coming upon the earth with the rounds, praising God and loving God and glorifying God as the saints do in heaven. Oh, how so very much does Jesus love me. And if he makes me fall asleep, it is so that I may not suffer more. So here, Jesus is saying to us, if you get distracted, I'm with you. I'm going to lead you into a deeper love for God, a deeper diving into this infinite ocean of love that lasts forever and ever. He says, what do you want? I want to give this to you. How can I give you more? Jesus says, get out of my way and let me fill you to overflowing. This is cascading rivers coming down upon the earth. Great things are in store. Amazing things are in store. And we can't get distracted from the truth. The truth is Jesus is inviting us to the wedding feast of the kingdom, intimately with him. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that all the little children of the Holy Divine will become divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.